Good evening.
Good evening.
A few of you made it. it's good to be back with you again. This evening I'd like to share a little bit of what the Lord has been doing through us and what we've got to watch the Lord do in Peru. And I hope that there's an encouragement to you to continue on praying. And if you have any questions, I hope you ask them, because that's how you get the answers. Half times the questions are the most interesting part of it all. So if you do get questions, be sure you get your answers, please. Just a verse I'd like to read to you. The Lord Jesus, at the end of his ministry, shortly before he'd leave, he told his disciples, "Go therefore and teach all nations," or disciple all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world." This is a promise that he's, and a commandment that he's given to all of us. We are to spread the word of God. And he told us, as in Acts chapter 1, we're supposed to begin at home. Then we're going to the next province, next country, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as I mentioned this morning, God uses each one of us in different areas. But God wants to use each one of us to do his work. And so we're thankful for how the Lord has seen fit to use us over there. And we're thankful how the Lord has seen fit to use you to keep us over there. And so that's first one. And then the other verse I just wanted to read to you, because a lot of our work is with children. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus saw the disciples keeping little children away from him, and it says he was displeased, and he said to them, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And a lot of our work has been with the little children. You see them, and they get into your heart, and it's kind of hard to get them out after that. But we'd like to share that with you. The work that we're involved in has ended up getting broken down, and it's never easy to say broken down concisely, but when we left, Fred Gordon, he's one of the elders at home, he said, "Why don't you make up a business plan, what you're going to be doing? Roughly, how's your work going to be?" So I took a stab at it, kind of what I thought I'd be doing, and, well, I was partly right. The Lord had a few other things in mind for me. We kind of involved, as you'll see, in a number of areas. One of my main areas I'm involved with is the Christian school. I spend most of my day there with them. But through the Lord's intervention, we ended up working more closely with the home than we intended by housing three of the boys in our home for 6 months. I didn't think that at age 45 I'd have three boys, four and under, in my house. But the Lord said that's what we should do, and that's what we did. Kind of gives you new appreciation for your children and how quiet they are when you get three young ones in your house. But for the most part, our involvement with the home has been relatively limited. And then we'll talk a little more about that in the pictures. And then another area that we've got involved with is volunteers. We didn't really foresee this, but it's become a real opportunity to encourage people who come down, to show them different part of the world. And what we've discovered is nobody goes away the same. And so we've tried to share with people what the Lord is doing there, give them an opportunity to see as much as they can, and also to encourage them in the Lord. And in turn, they've been encouragement to us. Especially, we were thankful to have the groups that have come down from here. I got asked at Bethany, one of the men during questions, he said to me, now he says, "It's quite a bit of money for people to travel down there." He says, "Is it really worth it for them to go down?" And now he's gone on short-term trips, so that was a fair question he could say, because he's seen both sides of it. And my response to him was, well, some of them should stay home and just send the money. and that's true, because some people look at it as a vacation. But I would say, by and large, a large group of people have come down. They've come down with the attitude, "We're here to work." And they came down, and whatever, it's kind of like, whatsoever your hand find to do, do with all your might, and that's what they did. And sometimes it's not anything glamorous, but it's been encouraging for them to come down and to be part of what we're doing there for several reasons. First of all, it's encouragement to us. It's hard to explain what it's like to be on the other side of the world, everybody speaking a different language. Where we are, most of the people are very poor. And at our meeting, they don't understand. To them, we're extremely rich. And we're living fairly basically. So to talk with these people, you always have this gap between them. And we have that common bond in the Lord, but every now and then if somebody come who you can just talk about the hockey game and, oh yeah, did you see that? And I say, oh, Boston, and some of you are saying, yeah, you know. And you get that response, but there it's kind of, oh, hockey, yeah, you do that with a stick, right? Do you hit each other with that or do you actually, yeah. So that part, it's nice to have somebody who can talk to in English and understand some of the things that are in common. But also to fellowship around the Lord. That's a real encouragement for us, just that the people who have had that burden in their heart come down to see it, to share how other people are praying for us, and to fellowship together around the Lord is such an encouragement. But secondly, it's also an encouragement because they go home and they tell people what's going on, and then people get an interest, and we end up hearing from other people who've got an interest and praying for us. And it just, it kind of snowballs. And so it's really been encouragement to us to have the volunteers come down. And we've had quite a number of them end up spending their time in our house, even though originally it was pretty tiny. We've had, I think, 14, I forget how many were there, Greg, but we had the crew with him and five of us and eight of them or something, seven of them, whatever it was, and 13, 14, 15 of us in our little three-bedroom apartment. We just threw air mattresses whichever way they could fit, and they went to sleep wherever they could find a spot on the floor. That's been encouragement. And then recently, the Lord's opened up a new opportunity for us in the north to share the gospel. And that's been a whole, in one sense, an adventure, but such a wonderful opportunity. Just, you feel like you're going out into the harvest field. And because of my Spanish, I feel like my side is kind of dull. But just to be part of that, and I would be happy just to drive them up there so that they could preach, but I've got the opportunity to share the gospel with these people, and they're just so hungry. They're coming out there waiting to hear the gospel and doing these Bible courses, so it's been real encouragement for us to be part of that. So those are kind of the main areas. And so what I'd like to do is I've broken down roughly in that order, and we're going to show you a few pictures of what the Lord is doing for us in Peru. And there we go. I don't know where the best place Stan is, but I'll talk. And if you can't see or you have a question, hope it's all right, but ask the question. So first of all, as you can see, I got this off of Google Earth. You can Google, if you Google Chiclayo, Peru, you're going to find it where we are. This is Peru right here. We're right below Ecuador. This line right here is the equator. Our day, that's why this wouldn't be a problem for us. It would be pitch dark by now because it's 7 o'clock. The sun goes down shortly after 6 because we're right by the equator. Days and nights are pretty well exactly the same length year-round. So here we are up north, and this is all of Peru, but we're up in north, and you'll see us there. We always fly in down here into Lima. Lima's the biggest city. It's 12 million people in the greater metropolitan area of Lima. The country has 26 million people, so a large chunk of them are down here. But we are working up right outside of Chiclayo, a city of about 750,000. In the area, there's 1.2 million people. And we would just work about 17 kilometers from Chiclayo in a little town called Pueblo Nuevo Ferenyafe. Now, if you travel along the western coast of Peru, this is what you're going to see, is desert. Desert, more desert, and desert. You can lay in the sand, you can play in the sand, you can get dirty in the sand, but every now and then you reach a river valley. Now this looks nice and green here, but in fact all of those are desert trees, which grow up where there happens to be a river valley and a little bit of water. But what they've done is they've irrigated everywhere, and so they can actually harvest some crops. But the water all comes from the mountains, down the mountains, and is used to irrigate the different crops. Basically two crops, sugar cane and rice. So believe it or not, I eat a lot of rice down there. We had one lady ask my wife, how many times a week do you eat rice? Well, my wife thinks, oh, maybe twice. Twice? Well, what do you eat if you're not eating rice? That's the way they think. Like, you got to have at least, some of them eat it, three meals a day. Every day, three meals a day. I actually, when I went north, that's what I had, breakfast, dinner, and supper. Big plate of rice, not just your little portion. It's a big plate of rice with a little sauce and maybe a chunk of meat over it, if you're fortunate, and just plain white rice. So they like the rice. This is flying into Chiclayo. You'll see the buildings are They're mostly pretty well all made out of brick or adobe, which is basically a mud brick, and they're square. And the funny thing is they're all different levels because, well, they ran out of money on the first floor, they ran out of money on the second floor. They're always willing to build another floor, so you see rebar sticking out of everywhere. Never know when they're going to stop building another floor on their place. This is right outside of the children's home, looking in one direction. And this would be a pile of adobe. These buildings are all adobe brick. And what it is basically they'll move in there, and if they can afford the mud brick, they'll buy those, or they might make them, and they'll start building their home. Over time then, if they can afford a little more, they'll then remove the mud brick and they'll build with the cook brick, and that's a step up. And then eventually you can get actually factory brick, but nobody bothers with those. They just go with the cook brick they get locally. And so this is part of basically a new development in the town that's slowly growing up. This is another direction. You can see it's a little rough. There's the ditch they were putting in the sewer actually at that time. And this is the house right across the street from the children's home. I think it actually has a bit of a roof now. You see how some of them are built, and they, like I said, they get halfway down a wall, and, well, they run out of money, so they stop building. And they'll continue it on when they do get a little more money. And usually it circulates around when they get the crops in. You can see lots of sights from the wall. You see them in herding in the cows and the goats. You just never know what's going to go on. There's one guy, he has about six donkeys, roughly, and he'll come. All of a sudden, you see these donkeys coming around the corner, and he rides one of them, and he's got four or five of them loose, and they're all carrying these adobe bricks, and that's his transportation mode. He doesn't have a truck or anything like that. He puts them on donkeys, and he carts them around and sells them. So that's his method. So you never know what you're going to see. But there's dust everywhere and dirt, especially in the villages, because we're on the edge of a desert. In town, and pretty much everywhere, there's a lot of garbage, and it would have been on a pile of garbage something like this that... that's one too far ahead. It was on a pile of garbage like this that one of the little boys, Benjamin, was found. His parents, nobody knows exactly what the story was, but these, they drove up with a little moto taxi, and dad gets out and takes his bundle and lays it on a pile of garbage like this. Thanks to the Lord that there was a lady there who saw that. And she comes over, and here's a little baby wrapped up in a blanket. By the end of the day, thankfully, he was at the home, and I'm glad to say that about 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago, he was taken in by a foster home in Chiclayo, and last time they did this, the same couple, they actually adopted the little boy. So this little boy, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, who knows where he would have been, but here he is now, he's in a loving home. And so that's some of the things you see there. And actually, in some ways, that's good because he never experienced the hurts that a lot of these children have. Most of the area where we are is Catholic. You see this on a lot of the postcards, but this is probably the nicest building in all the town. The rest of it's pretty grumpy looking. But this is the Catholic Church, and most of them are Catholics. We went north to this town about an hour and a half north. It's called Motupe. And they have the procession of the cross through the town and up the mountain. And they do that twice a year. They bring it down and parade it back up again. And if you look up on the balcony, you'll see the lady up there. And it's already gone by her. But I was watching one lady like that, and she was squirting sweet water, scented water over this procession and flower petals. And literally this lady was worked up so emotional over this cross because they believe that if they touch this cross, that some people have supposedly been healed and all these other miracles by this cross. And it's just basically a piece of wood with metal straps all over it. But this is what they worship. I sat back on the way home with a lady in the combi, and she was telling me how I think it was her son had been healed at the cross. And so every year she faithfully makes a pilgrimage to this cross. And so these are some of the people that we'd like to win to the Lord. For the first year, this was our mode of transportation. This is a little taxi. We would sit all five of us plus the driver in this thing, but he would have to go slow because there's speed bumps all through town. And if he went a little too fast, even if he went slow most of the time, he'd catch the bottom on the speed bumps. some of them wouldn't let us in because they'd say, no, there's too many of you. But most of them, we'd get in there, and for a little over a dollar, we could go around town. If we weren't driving one of those, we were in one of the combis. These were probably designed to fit maybe 14 people. Well, they're pretty ingenious. They redesigned it to sit 22 people. We were actually in one where we had 28 people. There wasn't much room for anything after they all get in there. But they go around town, and this guy stands in the door hollering, you know, whoever, you know, trying to get somebody in the vehicle. And for about depending where you're going, you pay a fare, and they'll take you there. This was one of the reasons my wife felt very convinced that we should get our own vehicle, because they drive like, well, driving like Jehu is probably putting it mildly. They're very, very interesting drivers, shall we say.
They stink,
yeah. Yeah, they do. And then finally, to make it interesting, is they have these little motos that you ride in. Now, the guys up front on the, it looks like a motorcycle, you cut it off and stick that bench in the back. And these guys, like one fellow from down there says, we have to care for these guys and care for their lives, because they don't care for their own lives. And it's true, they'll drive right smack in front of you, you're driving down your car, and all of a sudden these things cut you right off. And they drive like chariot racers going down the street in these things, and they'll compete with the trucks and the cars and the buses and everything. And it's like, oh, Lord, please just get me there safe. But we're thankful to say that we have successfully navigated with them. We've seen a few accidents, but never been in one. But I do have to say this, that when Fenna was with us, I'm driving the van, or combi that Tom had, and Fenna goes, you know, for all the craziness in the driving, you know, there's not that many accidents. And I don't think the words were even out of his mouth. And I went, oh, somebody's just cut me off. And it's like, well, there you get to see what it's really like. So it is crazy. And that's just one way that we thank for the prayers of God's people, because you got to see it to realize how crazy it really is. You can talk to Greg later. Another differing part is we got to help people. I exchange your money, and there's about 50 of these guys lined up ready to change your money if you have American dollars. So when visitors come, we take them here and get their money changed for them. And this guy was usually pretty good with me. He'd give me a fair rate. But he always went up and look at it, and he'd hold out his calculator. Well, how much do you want to change? And he'd show me the rate, and then this is what I'll give you. And okay, that's pretty good. And so we'd change the bills. But I always felt like Jesus going to the temple with the money changers when I went to these guys. And then we'd go to the market. We do some of our shopping here to get different things, and you can find virtually anything in the market that you might want. I mean, pots, pans, you name it, you can find it there. If you can't find it in the main store, you can go down the market and you'll probably find it, including things like cow stomach, feet, you've got, you name it, they've got it there. Now, typically we don't eat this meat, but we just show all the visitors the meat so they get to smell the smells. including octopus too. Well, we do eat the octopus. It's a little chewy. Another thing they eat is they eat these chicken's feet. I still don't understand it, but they love chicken's feet. And when you get a chicken down there, like here you ladies go to buy the whole chicken, you don't expect to find shoved inside the feet and the head. But down there you get the whole chicken, and they don't want to rip you off. And one of the standard policies at the children's home, the ladies there prepare the food for the visitors, is don't give the visitors the head or the feet of the chicken in the soup. So that's just standard policy now. They don't give them to everybody. These are some of the standard dishes. The area is famous for this dish. It's called ceviche. It's chopped up fish, onions, and they put lemon on that with a rocoto pepper, which is a bit of a spicy pepper. That's fairly spicy. And the fish is not cooked, but it's supposed to be cured with the lemon. It grows on you. After you've eaten it a few times, you kind of acquire a taste for it. At least most people do, right, Greg? Here's another one. Now, you can't see this very well, but this piece of meat back here is actually a guinea pig. That's another one they like to eat. They eat the guinea pigs. And they hear up here, they're pets. You keep them for pets? Why would you want them for pets? Why not eat them? So that's what they do. They eat their guinea pigs. As I mentioned, one of the main areas down there is work with Morningstar, the children's home. The children's home, this is one of the initial shots. Looking around the children's home, and you can see it's pretty sandy, but a fairly good-sized property that Tom had bought originally and then basically put it under the ONDA organization, so mainly for tax purposes, but pretty barren except for the children's home, the home that's there. But it's amazing how over time, with just a little grass, and it's just a spiritual example there of how with the water of the Word, things grow. And if you look around that place, the difference that the grass has made there is just amazing. And the kids love to get out and play with it from the home, from the school. They're always out playing in the grass. And this is one of the buildings that that the guys would have worked on when they were down there with us. Some of the children from the home, this is Nayeli, her brother Segundo, and her sister Cynthia were one of the early ones that end up at the home. Their mother was a prostitute who spent the money that she did earn on drugs. And at 5 years old, Cynthia here was taking care of her two younger siblings who were 3 years old and 1 year old. Finally, they got removed by the police, and dear Segundo here was accused of being dangerous, probably at around the age of six, because he threatened somebody with a bread knife. But this was at one of the state orphanages. Tom managed to get them to the children's home at Morningstar, and with some discipline and some love, these kids, Cynthia, whenever she sees you, she always comes up and gives me a big hug, and she's now 12. Getting to be a big girl, but she's so affectionate, and you can pray for them. There's three in that family. The Peruvian government will not split them up because they want them to be adopted as a family, but it's difficult for people to adopt three in one shot, and Cynthia so much wants to have a family, but she's such a sweet kid, helps out around the house and all that, but just pray for them that she'd be content, and if God has a family for her, that he would prepare them for her. Ugo here was recently adopted, and this is Daisy. She's upstairs. She's one of the girls at the home. This is a little Daniel. You may remember Daniel. You prayed for him. He's the one that had multiple bowel problems. if you see him now, and this is a little older picture, but there's a more recent one, he's just a picture of health, going concern and growing to beat the band. And so it's just an example. His mother, when she discovered his health issues, just left, walked out of the hospital and didn't come back. And but he's growing well. The lady where he's staying on the second floor, I'll show you a picture of them in a minute. She's a neonatal nurse for 40 years, and so it worked out well that she was there when Daniel needed her. This is Jenny. Jenny's another sweet kid, loving. And virtually all of these that I've shown you now are Christians and in fellowship at the local meeting. That's just one of the other benefits of them being at the home. Here's Luis. Luis was adopted a few months ago to a couple in Italy. And this is Maria. Maria, you can pray for. It's been amazing how about 4 months ago, there was a climax in Maria's life. Where basically it came to the point where, Maria, if you don't change, you're going to have to leave. And that's pretty hard to say, but it came to that point because of some of the things in Maria's life that she was doing and her actions that she was jeopardizing everyone else. But why was that? If you look back in Maria's life, the things this kid has been through, no kid should ever have to go through. But thanks be to God, she got put in a room by herself with another young lady whose parents are at the home, and she's just craving a ton of attention, and she was taking any kind she could get, good or bad. And I noticed in my own heart that it was easy to be kind of cranky towards her, had the wrong attitude, and I thought, you know what? This is a perfect example of God's grace. So I started praying for her instead of being cranky at her in my own heart. And you know what? The changes in Maria over the last 3 months or so is amazing, because I teach her every day in school. And just little by little, no startling revelations, but little by little, she's been changing. And you can see God working in her heart. And so you can pray for Maria. This is not something that's going to change overnight. She's had a lot of abuse when she was young. But you know what? God is changing her. And she's settling down. And I think finally she's beginning to accept that love that's there, and she wants the right kind of attention. So just pray for her. Anita, wonderful kid. She lost. She had her leg amputated. She's not in the home because of parental reasons. The only reason she's there is because her house is so unsanitary that she had her leg amputated because of TB. And if she went back, they were afraid it would recur. So she's at the home. She's 16 and she helps out there a lot. Here's a picture of them at Christmas. This is Bob and Janet. They're in their mid 60s. They're in charge of the upstairs home, And right now they have 6 children up there. They can have up to 8. And then this is Alberto and Rosa, right here. And this is their daughter, Ellie. And this one, the children with them, Jenny. Ellie is the one that stays with Maria. And then Alberto and Rosa are taking care of the household downstairs. They have 8 children in with them. Alberto used to work in his parents had a circus. Then they got saved, so they started using the circus to get the gospel out. But Alberto, he's just, you got to watch him when he does a Sunday school opening. It's just like a 3-ring circus. You just never know what he's going to do. And the kids love it because it's just like a circus. So he's been a great addition there, and he just loves the Lord. These are a couple that came down and adopted 3 of the children from the home. Right here, Olenka, Hugo, and Cecia. And it was really wonderful because this young couple are Christians. They're involved in the church down in Alabama. So it was wonderful to see these kids adopted by a Christian family. Another part of our ministry was our involvement in the north. What happened was about 5 months ago, a lady from the assembly, her sister, got pneumonia. This girl was only 16 years old, and she died. And so the family went up north to the funeral, and in the process of spending time at the funeral, they ended up finding that the people there were interested in the gospel. So her husband, the lady's husband, he made a return visit to see would they be interested in us coming back to preach. And yeah, there was an interest. So months later, we went back and to visit. And here's where we arrived. This is the lady's home. This is where her family lives. Now remember I told you some of them had adobe brick, some of them had, if they could afford a little better, they'd get the cooked brick. Well, this is the previous stage to the brick. They have a wall right here that they take poles and little strips of wood along this way, and then they shove shards of really hard wood in there, and sometimes they'll even cover it with mud. So that's kind of the initial stages, and then they'll put in adobe brick. This is not really that waterproof. I was sleeping in the back corner here inside. It started to rain, and I kind of had to do some squiggling around my bed to get out of the way of the water coming down through the roof. So it's fairly primitive, but the people, they want to hear about the Lord. There's the outhouse. I was thankful for that, although between you and me, I never really did a number 2 there. I waited till I got home. I just held on. I'm just a slow learner. it does have a concrete toilet in there, but take that for what it's worth. But very, very hospitable. They're very welcoming for us. This inside the house, it's a mud floor, mud walls, and very rudimentary. And it's the grace of God that helps you through some of these things. Not that I really mind it, but I was just wondering if I'd get sick or not, and I didn't really seem to get too sick, so that was good. First thing we do when we got there is we go around the village and invite the people. And this gentleman here, that was the lady's wife who was from here. He lived there for 8 years. He'd been known as a drunkard there before. He drank with a lot of them. So now he's going around, and he'd walk in the door, and he says, "You know me." And he said, "I want to invite you out to hear the good news of the gospel. Will you come?" "Yes, we'll come." And being a typical North American, I'm thinking, I wonder how many of these people are actually going to show up. Well, after inviting them that afternoon, each afternoon we go, we're doing Bible studies, and a bunch of the young people said they would like to do these Bible study courses, and it's just a little booklet, and the first one's on the way of salvation. And so a whole bunch of these young people signed up for it. So here we are sitting around in a circle, and we're going through the course. And it's interesting because these two aren't involved in it. She's not involved in it. He's not involved in it. You just never know who's going to be in the circle while you're doing this study. We had bicycles passing through. You may have dogs, pigs, goats, whatever coming through, but you just try to plug on. So we had this study with him in the afternoon, and then later in the day, we had our meeting. And the first time we were there, the very first time, it comes to 5 o'clock when the meeting's supposed to start. And guess who's there? It's us and the family we're staying with. And I'm thinking, okay, this is just like North America. Yeah, 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 and it really means no. Well, about 10 after 5, oh, there comes 2 people over the hill. Oh, well, I guess it won't be just us. There'll be 2 more. And then, oh, there comes a couple more. And then there comes a couple more. And this is just a tiny little village. And by the time we were done, there was over 60 people there that had come to hear the gospel. And so we were able to give them the gospel. Here's another gentleman that went up with us. He's sharing with the young people. I was able to share with them. And then later, this is another brother, Jorge, really has a heart for the lost. He would share with them, and we just sat there out in the open. And like I said, you can see the dog laying there. The first time I spoke there, it was hilarious because right in the middle of the meeting, there goes the pig, and the dogs are chasing him. And you know what pigs sound like? If you've ever been around pigs, I helped raise pigs, so I know what they sound like. There they go, rah, 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 rah. There's the dogs chasing him, full bore after him. And so you may as well stop and just, okay, everybody had their look? Okay, let's go back here now. So there was lots of distractions that first time. So what we did the second time is we took an amplifier. They love their amplifiers down there. Bigger the better, the louder the better. And so we took an amplifier there, and it was wonderful because it helped to reduce distractions, but also as I started preaching, I looked up the hill, and this guy had walked out of his house, and he'd taken his chair, and he sat down in front of his chair, and there he's sitting relaxing. I thought, ha-ha, you get to hear too. So we were able to spread around the community. While we were preaching to the adults, Alberto was teaching the young children, and we had a good group of them show up as well. And so we're able to give both of them the gospel. And there's some of them sitting down in they're basically in their little patio, getting to hear the good news of the gospel. And like I said, we had accompaniment of the four-legged kind, both pigs and goats and you name it, dogs, of course. There are lots of dogs there. What we would do then is the next day, and we end up doing this Sunday just because down there you take the days that work. And because Saturday, most everybody's gone to the market. So obviously can't do it Saturday, but Sunday morning, everybody's home. So we have our meeting Saturday night, and Sunday morning we go around and visit the people and have their studies. And it was neat, this lady here we are, it's kind of just a prep visit, but when I went back with Alberto, we walked in and sat down, the lady says, would it be all right if my husband did the study with us? That's why we're here. And so it was wonderful to be able to go through these studies with them and to see how they'd studied the Word of God, and some were really in earnest. This was our host. Each time we go there, they'd cook up quite a storm for us. Like I said, three meals of rice a day usually, with something on top of it or beside it. And but she was very hospitable. Interestingly enough, she was always chasing the dogs of the house, but she never seemed to be quite successful to get them gone completely. There's four or five dogs around there. Another aspect, as I mentioned, are the volunteers. They come down to help with work and to encourage us. And there's one of the gentlemen that came down to help us. Another aspect is not just the physical work, but we've also, as the first group from here came down, we ended up covering the town with seed sowers. And we started first with Pueblo Nuevo, gave out the seed sowers. And it's so different than here because I've done the seed sowers here, and the people kind of, you know, they open their door a little bit and they look at you like, oh, Mormon or Jehovah's Witness? No, I'm not Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. Oh, okay, and then they might take it from you. But down there, they're literally coming over, the taxi driver's coming over, can I have one? Oh, sure, there you go. And you're giving them out, like, as fast as pretty much you can take them out of the bag, you're giving them away. And there's hardly anybody, there's maybe one or two people that actually refused them. And so we were able to cover Pueblo Nuevo with the group from here, and then later on, another group from the States came down and we covered most of the town where I live in Ferreñafe. Here's some people you may recognize, came down to do some construction last January. And as I said, there was a big encouragement to us to be able to see them come down. And another aspect of the ministry down there is, as far as construction is concerned, they know how to do construction down there, but they're it's pretty rough. That's putting it pretty kindly. So when people come down who actually know what they're doing, it's a real added boon to have somebody say, well, you know, this is how we actually do these things. And so we were thankful for that aspect too. And it was encouragement for us personally to be able to spend some time with these, with all our different brothers and sisters around the Lord, around the hammer or whatever, the drill, I guess it was more there, and just to see their desire to serve Him. And then this is the first group. You may recognize most of these too. So it was neat for us to be able to be part of that. There's some other volunteers that came down. Hannah, who's in the middle, she ended up staying down. She was a volunteer, and she ended up staying down. She's been down there for about 2 years now. helping out, teaching the third grade classroom. And part of our other ministry, as working with the volunteers, we give them a kind of a taste of the area. We end up taking to some of the archaeological digs, which after you've seen them about 8 or 10 times, kind of get a little boring, but everybody seems to like them, so we take them to see those, see what's around the area, and climb a few hills so they can see that it's not completely plains in Peru. This is the van we use to cart people around. It's one of the combis. It's right there, loaded up with people. You can see Oral in the door and Fenno in the front seat. Fenno rode shotgun. He wasn't afraid. Although when he asked me about the accidents, we almost got into one. But this is the van Tom originally bought for his family, and then recently bought another vehicle, and now this is at the home, and they use that for transportation. But this is the type of vehicle a lot of people use down there to get around, because not too many people actually own their own vehicle. Most of them use public or this kind of transportation, those little yellow taxis you saw earlier. Another part of the volunteers is when your own children arrive. There's my lovely wife greeting Jessica, and there we are, a big happy family again, so it was nice to see her. Then, as I mentioned, we actually had three little boys show up in our home. Here they are with us. They soon got into your heart. This is Edwin. He's got a little squash there. I'm not sure why, but his head isn't normally that squashed. he was the... you can kind of see it in his eyes there. When he first came, he was just lost. Like, what's going on here? His dad was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and he had another woman on the side, and he would lock his family in the house, and because everything down there is barred, it's just as hard to get out as it is to get in, and he'd leave them with a bag of rice and leave them for a week. Towards the end, his wife would start to go to the market to beg. She'd take the three boys with her. So finally she just had enough. She was a bit simple anyway. So she left, went to stay with her sister, and she left the boys behind, basically said, you can do whatever you want with them. So he decided to get rid of them, give them away. And when the police got wind of that, they took them and brought them to us. And we had just talked about that very recent, or just right before that, we talked with Tom and Carol, and we said Tom and Carol are in charge of the children's home, said what would happen if we ever had somebody, you know, would we be eligible to take care of them? Oh yeah, for sure. Well, it wasn't too long afterwards, we got the phone call. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we got three little boys here, you want to take them? Well, how old are they? Well, one, we think they're 1, 3, and 4. So we talked, and okay, well, I think it was 3 o'clock that afternoon. We had three boys in our house, so there was no lag time. And as you can see by their head, about an hour after they get in our house, they were deprived of all of their hair because they were full of little creatures that we didn't really want in the house. But they were hungry. They ate everything. I mean, the little guy right here, he's the middle one, Jorge, and this is Edwin and Naeem. Jorge, every time that you put something in front of him, he'd go, oh, rico, rica, because that's good, this is good. Apparently, his dad sometimes beat his wife because the food wasn't good. I don't know how much you can do with a plate of rice, but I guess he expected a lot. And so Jorge was always assuring Kim that the food was good. there's Naeem with Lindsay. Chris with Edwin. Edwin used to sit and watch. Chris would get the hockey game every now and then on the computer, and Edwin would watch it with him and sit beside him. And when they got a check, he'd go, oh, ow. So he was getting the hang of that. There they are again. And it was nice to see their faces fill out and the blank look disappear. And this is just before they left us. A little fuzzy, but a lot more content. And the amazing thing of God, how God works, is Alberto, the guy from the circus, he came to me one day and he asked their names, and then he got some paperwork because he's kind of in charge of a lot of the paperwork for the home, and he comes to me all excited. He made a call and he found out these three boys were actually his cousin's children. And he was just so excited because now they're in his home and he gets to take care of them. and they actually call him Uncle. And so I told him, I said, you know what, you're going to live, he's really your relative. Like, we're not your relatives, he's really your relative. And they were so excited that I told them this a couple days in advance, thinking they're going to need a day or two to get ready for this. Well, they were upset with me for not taking him right away. Well, why can't we go stay there? You said we could. Well, yeah, you got to wait a few days, though. So they didn't like that. But they've adjusted well to living there, and it's been encouragement to see for Alberto and Rosa, see how God arranged for them to take care of them. One of the nice things at the local assembly has been the baptism, and I got to see Jonathan baptized with some of the other young people from there. There's another brother, David. Many of the young ones going on for the Lord. This is the one was David. This is the Davico. We've got quite a few Davids. And then we went to another, and what they do here, nobody has a tank down there except for us, and actually the tank we have was meant for for the water for mortar. It wasn't actually meant to be a baptismal tank, but it just happened to work out. But what they do is... were you guys here for that? Yeah, you were there for that. That's right. It's too funny. what they do is they'll go to a soccer field, and you'll have something to eat, and then they'll have a preaching, and then we'll go to be baptized. Well, they said there's a little ditch there with a little bit of water. And I'm thinking, like, you're never going to get anybody under that water. So we walk over and look at it, and they're looking at it kind of very profoundly. Yeah, you know what? That's standing water. And it looked pretty clear to me. No, that's standing water. Can't do it there. And I'm thinking, well, good, because there's not enough water. So off we go, about a kilometer across the sugarcane field, and guess what we encounter? This is a ditch where the irrigation water is going through. Now, to me, that looked worse than the other water, but no, that's moving water. That's okay. So in they went, and they baptized a number of people. But that's what they'll do. They'll invite the local assemblies. Come on, we're going to have a baptism. Would you like to join us? And a number of usually come, and they'll have some food, some preaching, some fellowship, and then usually it always ends with soccer. It's traditional there. Here we are, and there's Alberto in action with one of the young people, and this is at our Sunday school opening for the local assembly. We meet outside under a bit of an awning because down there we don't have to worry about rain. It just never rains, maybe twice a year. It's like you planning for a snowstorm. You just don't plan for snowstorms. Well, we don't plan for rain. except for in the evening, we have to plan for mosquitoes. And so we have our Bible study inside, and this is at one of the brothers' home. There's Jorge and his wife, his little boy's handicapped. and so we've had it at their home, and then recently we've started meeting again at the children's home, because before we didn't have a large enough facility for all of us to meet together for the prayer meeting. Here are some of the young people. You can pray for the young people. I just got an email from Tom yesterday, and he was telling me what they did in March, because our year summer ends in March. They changed their format for a youth group, and they started, because before they had about 20-some young people showing up, and they started really reaching out, trying to invite more. And he was saying that now they're up to 80 young people in the youth group. And so trying to get one of the youth leader to be able to spend more time to visit these young people and to be able to share with them more and to follow up. So lots of young people that have been coming out to the youth group. Another aspect is some of the studies that we have. This is, I met with Brother Juan in his home. He doesn't have a lot, but every time, you can see right there in front of me, there's what they call that a little lanchera. And Juan doesn't have much. In fact, one day I saw a chicken walking around in this is his living room. That's his bed back there where he sleeps, he and his wife. It's a twin bed. I saw the chicken walking around, and I said, now, is that chicken for laying or for eating? And he says to me, well, it depends if I'm working or not. And that gives you an idea of, you know, the conditions. But every day, I went for study. I'd be all done. I'd try to sneak out and say, okay, well, I'm in, I'm going. And no, he'd do this to me. That's how they don't tell you to come like this, or, you know, like this. No. And that'd be kind of like, you just stay there. And then he'd sneak off to the curtain in the back of rack room, and I'd heard his wife banging and clanging around there, and he'd come out with this little plate, and we'd share together our lanchera. And really, he couldn't afford to give me a lanchera, but every time I went, he would bring something out, and we'd share together this lanchera. And just, you know, they're really a kind people. So there we are again eating our lanchera. We usually also have a... they call it a meal. They call it a meal of fraternidad, which is brotherhood, so that we can fellowship together. We do that once a month. This is actually a Christmas one that we had together with the home, but every month we have this meal. invite all the Christians to come together just for some fellowship together, and they bring whatever they can. And here's a couple from the assembly. It was kind of neat for us. They said, we don't want to say goodbye to you at the meeting. We want to come to your house and say goodbye to you properly. And so they came to her house, and she started crying when she hugged Kim, and she says, you've come to mean so much to us. And, you know, we really haven't had a lot of time. Our Spanish is still rudimentary, and yet it's amazing how the love of Christ, you know, unites you together. And we've been able to be an encouragement to them, and they're an encouragement to us. We see different ones growing. Finally, the last area is Strong Tower, the Christian school. This has been another area of outreach in the community. Here we see every Monday morning, the kids line up, and we have sing the national anthem, have a few songs, and at the end of it, we give a little lesson. And the parents are always standing off over here, over this side. The parents are always there, and they get to hear the little gospel lesson too. So it's just every opportunity we try to give the gospel out. Here they are at this is the K-4 class. This little fella right here came in the first day, and his hair was basically down to here. Now, I hadn't heard that, but Tom had told his mother the year before, you got to get that hair cut. And so when I saw him, the busyness the first day, I didn't get to say anything. But I said, I got to talk to this lady, get that hair changed or something. Well, the next day, his teacher back here, and both of them, they had a new boy in the classroom. They're thinking, who is this boy? Well, it was him. He'd had a haircut. They didn't recognize him. But all these children here, and this is the K-5, and then we have up to grade 3. So we start at 3 years old. The Peruvian government by law starts education at 3 years old. And we have from K-3, K-4, K-5, and now we have grades 1, 2, and 3. Lord willing, each year we'd like to add another grade and continue to add on to the school by adding a classroom each year. So this is one of the newer classrooms that was made. You can see the kids in there. They're enjoying their lunch right now. There's the English class. My sister Audrey's teaching that English class with some of the angels that are in there. There they are coming out of class. They get lined up to go back and forth between the classrooms. Here they are inside of class. And what's interesting, these two boys are both Luis. One's Luis Eloy, the other one's Luis Angel. This is Luis Angel, and he's anything but an angel. But they're so cute, and what's amazing is every morning they come in, and they, if you're standing at the door, because basically we have one big door, and they come in through that door, and when at 8:25, the door shuts. If they're not in, they're not getting in. So they know they have to be there in time. But if I'm standing at the door, the mothers and the kids do it too. They'll say, no, greet the mister, because I'm the mister. Greet the mister. So I got to bend down and they give me a smooch. Or if I'm not bent down quick enough, they just grab me around the legs and give me a big hug. And even if you're walking around the patio, they're always coming up to you, hugging you and giving you, greeting you. So they're very affectionate bunch. They love to be hugged and they love hugging. Part of the program too is that, because a lot of the people can't afford to pay the monthly tuition. We use the tuition to pay our Peruvian teachers that teach there. it's not a big salary, but the Peruvian teachers get a salary. But a lot of them can't afford that, the parents. And so we have a work program. Rather than just letting the kids come in free, the parents come in and they'll work on the property, and then that'll go towards the tuition for the children. And so part of the project is they'll come in, they'll clean the classrooms. every day we have a number of them coming in cleaning the classrooms. And then some of the mothers work in the gardens or around the property doing different things. And so that's part of it. And then sometimes people actually sponsor it, so there will be money for them, other times not. But that way these children get to have an education, and the parents I guess have a certain level of self-esteem because they've actually worked for what they're getting. We also have spring picnic, time when we get all the parents together, everybody comes out for this, and we're able to give them the gospel. Graduation, Christmas programs, it's all another chance to give the gospel. Here's the Mother's Day program, and like I told you this morning, you can see, kind of get an idea of the crowd. 270-some people showed up for the Mother's Day program, and then the Father's Day program, which surprised me, was 300. And so we're able to give them the gospel. Here's some of the kids singing. They love to sing, even if they can't sing. Like I was telling Franklin, it's nice to hear people who can sing because they'll do a special in their meetings. I've gone to some meetings. They'll get up and they'll sing a special, and it's anything but special for us because they can't sing, and they just come up and they grab the hymn book and they're going to sing a song, and they haven't practiced it, but well, I'm going to sing, so you should be appreciative, and so they sing it. So it's a whole new take on specials for me. But these kids, they love to sing. And there they are. They always do one, at least one English song. Audrey leads them in that. And then, of course, right at the end, we always have a little snack for them so that they, I don't know if that's why they come, but whatever reason they come for, they always get the gospel, so it works for us. So these are some of the young people there with the Jonathan, and they're handing out the food at the end of it. there's a lot more that's going on there, but there's just so many opportunities to share the gospel. Each one of these children at the school, another opportunity to share the gospel. They're taking that home into their house. We went around, and some of you heard about this, about a year ago. Alberto and Carlos went around house to house with a survey to each of the homes, the school. And the survey basically said, are you happy with the school? What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. Last three questions are, what is your relationship with God? Something like that. How do you think you can get to heaven? And the last one was, would you be interested in learning about God by having a study in your home? They went to the first 25 people, and all of them said yes. So what do you do? They had to stop because they can only do so many studies at once. And so Alberto and Carlos, between the two of them, were doing 25 studies a week, besides the other regular meetings of the church, all with unsaved people. And so we saw a number of people get saved. After a while, some of them were running every time they knew it was time for their study. So we knew, well, that's a dead-end lead for now. But obviously God's working because they're running. Because if he wasn't working, they'd be staying there hard as a wall. But no. So that's another opportunity. And just so many different little opportunities there to share the word of God. And so we appreciate your prayers. And I encourage you to continue on because we're laborers together in this. And we just hope that, I hope that this has been an encouragement to you to see kind of what the Lord's been doing, to see how your prayers are being answered on the other side of the globe. Now, I know I'm well over time, so I'll just cut it off. If you have questions for me afterwards, you can nab me at the door, unless something's really pressing very hard. Nothing? Okay.
Mark?
Yes, Greg.
You should mention it's upcoming
Friday. Oh, thank you, Greg. I'm not a very good salesman. Lord willing, in January this year, right now we're full as far as the school is concerned. We don't have anywhere any more room, and so we need another classroom. And Lord willing, in end of December, 1st of January, we'll be putting up some more classrooms. I believe that the Lord's already provided a chunk of money we need, and I was asking Tom, I said, how much do we need? Because this year what we're going to do, instead of doing last year, we did... the group that came down helped us build a steel stud drywall type building with tile roofing. This year, we're hoping to do, instead of just one floor, we're hoping to do a multiple level one building, which would house classrooms and an office. So first floor would be office, classroom, second floor, two classrooms, and ultimately third floor with, you remember how I said they like keep going up and up and up? Well, third floor would be housing for volunteers because the number of volunteers, especially when it's young ladies, we'd like to be able to keep them on the property, and this would allow us to do that without having to be in the home. So, Lord willing, I asked Tom, I said, well, how much do you think roughly it would cost us to build the first level? Well, he said, I think $30,000. And so, Lord willing, we're going to get at least that done. That'll be bricks and mortar. And then the second level, if the Lord provides, we'll do that. And if the money comes in, we'll go to the third level. So what we would be doing is they would be putting up the foundation and putting up a lot of the bricks and mortar, and then people will come in to do all the inside stuff that needs to be done. And that's so that would be a project that would be, in the will of the Lord, done in January and February. Along with that, there's always stuff to do there, but those are the big things. And just to give you an idea of, and I'm sorry I'm going over time. You can leave, you're getting tired here. But for the rest of you, we had one young fellow come down in May. Luke Dillman, some of you might know him. He came down and just came down to help out however he could. Well, as it turns out, There are some big rocks that need to be moved, and Luke's a fairly solid lad, so he was moving those rocks in the morning. But in the afternoon, my sister Audrey was moving apartments. Now, she's teaching school all day, and I'm in school all day, so when do you move apartments? Well, there was Luke, and Luke helped Audrey move. Now, to you, that may seem insignificant, but for somebody who's busy and occupied doing all the things down there, this was a really relief for my sister. To have this young man, he was just willing to do whatever had to be done. He painted, he did whatever she needed to clean, and moved. And so that was his ministry there for her for that week that he was there. And it was such a relief to her because, well, he had big bulky arms and he could move that stuff that was too heavy for her. And so at the end of the week, she had everything moved over, and she was just moving one hall to another, but it was the apartment that she needed. And so it was just a blessing to have him down there. So sometimes we have individuals come down, and there's that sort of work. But then, Lord willing, in January we're going to have this larger project, and we try to get a group of people who know what they're doing, and a few that can help them do that and to get that work done. And we're thankful for the group that came down last year. It was a big help to us, and it made a big difference because, well, it would have been a lot of work for a few of us if it hadn't have come. So. Does that answer your question, brother? Thank you. All right. I'm going to close in prayer, and then afterwards, if you have questions, please don't hesitate to stop. And one last thing. I know I send a lot of emails. If you're interested in receiving our newsletter, I'll just leave a little piece of paper, give me your email address, I'll put you on the list. But don't hesitate to tell us what's going on, because prayer can go from our end too. It works from Peru. It goes up to heaven too. So if we'd like to be able to pray for you too, and to share in your burdens as well, as we know you've shared in ours. So we do appreciate that, but we'd like to be able to help and encourage you too. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you now for your great goodness, and Lord, we're humbled to see how you see fit to use us in your work, and that we know it's not because of our own worth or anything like that, or even really our valuable work. We know it's because of your grace, and we thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Charlottetown, and I pray that they would be encouraged as they see your work in their lives. And Father, I pray that they'd continue on praying for us and then the work in Peru to see the harvest being harvested there as well. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness again, and we ask, Lord, a blessing on each one here today, that they would be encouraged and strengthened in their walk with you. We pray this now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.